crossroads of empires, battleground of the ages, city of peace and of war. This is Jerusalem, where archaeology uncovers the empires of yesterday, where prophecy decodes the headlines of today. This is where history and prophecy come alive. This is Watch Jerusalem.
Hello and welcome back to Watch Jerusalem. I'm your host, Brent Nachtigall. We're coming to you today, of course, from Jerusalem, Israel. If you'd like to send us some feedback on the program, if this is the first one you've watched, or if this is one of many, or you have some ideas of what we might discuss, please send your emails to letters@watchjerusalem.co.il. Well, today is a big day for the Central European nation of Germany as it goes to the polls in what is shaping up to be an extremely important election. It didn't seem that way initially, and yet as time's gone on, there's been a lot of pundits over the past couple of weeks really looking at this election and stating how important it is. And we'll look at it in the latter part of today's program and look at the identity, the biblical identity of the modern German nation, because this is going to help us see what effects that this election might actually have in the fulfillment of biblical prophecy, and also just looking forward into the future, some of the prophecies that Germany is going to play a role in. So please hang around for that part of today's program. Before we get to that, I want to spend some time discussing the internal security situation inside Israel in terms of Palestinian affairs and this push that we're seeing over the past week or so towards Palestinian reconciliation, reconciling the two Palestinian leading factions, that being Fatah and Hamas. It looks like they may get back together, or at least they're talking about it. They've talked about it, of course, since their split back in 2007, and it hasn't happened. And yet it looks like it might have a greater chance of happening this time around. We're going to talk about that and what it means for Israel. Now, this morning, I had a conversation with the United States military official here in Jerusalem, and he works out of the U.S. consulate here, and he helps coordinate between Israel and the Palestinian security apparatus that's governed by the Palestinian Authority, led today by Fatah, because Hamas and Fatah are not together. And he said that his department is extremely worried going forward, especially in light of this reconciliation bid between Hamas and Fatah. The United States, of course, doesn't deal with Hamas, has says it wouldn't deal with Hamas as a partner for peace or even in security discussions. They do deal with Fatah, so they're worried about what's going to happen going forward with that. And we'll talk about that a little bit more in the future, this deal that looks to be in the offing between Hamas and Fatah. But before he said that, he also said something else that surprised me, and that was that the security relationship between Israel and the Palestinian Authority had not improved since the Temple Mount impasse back in July. It had not gone back. The status quo has not returned between Fatah's men, or the security establishment of the Palestinians as led by Mahmoud Abbas, and the Israelis. And that impasse, and we'll talk about that in a second, has actually exposed a powerful rift in the security cooperation between Israel and the Palestinians that Israel does not know how to fix. We have passed a point of no return, really, in looking at how Israel can work with the Palestinian Authority at putting the tamping down dissent, tamping down radical extremists in the West Bank. There is a growing rift, or a rift that already exists, that's hard for Israel to fix. You'll remember that back in late July, how this Temple Mount impasse began. Three terrorists killed two Israeli soldiers just launching their attack from the Temple Mount compound. In response to that, Israel came in and said, well, we can't let this happen again. We're going to set up metal detectors, install security cameras outside the compound, but it would be at the entrances to the compound. Of course, the Palestinians didn't like this. Protests ensued over the next week or two. They gradually intensified, with prayer sessions being held outside of the Temple Mount, people not going into the Temple Mount. And gradually, Israel backed down. They removed all the metal detectors. Now, what we saw, though, in those protests revealed something about the Palestinian struggle, the nature of the Palestinian struggle against Israel. It revealed, astoundingly, that even after billions of dollars had been injected into the Palestinian Authority under the leadership of Fatah and Mahmoud Abbas over the past decade, that they were not actually in charge of the Palestinian people. That's what the Temple Mount impasse showed to Israel. That's what it showed even to Fatah and Abbas. That's what it showed to Hamas. And that's what it showed to other outside nations that would want to vie for leadership over the Palestinian people. Now, this Palestinian issue, as revealed by that, is a popular uprising against the Israel for the rights of Palestinians. And the leadership of the Palestinian people will be determined by the mob. It will be determined by those Palestinians underneath that authority, no matter what the United States says or whoever Israel tries to support. Again, Israel, European Union, the United States, while they have their disagreements with Fatah and its leader Mahmoud Abbas, they've supported that group in order to keep Hamas down. And really, what we saw and this impasse really revealed, again, that Fatah isn't really in control. We saw that in these Temple Mount protests because Mahmoud Abbas, he was virtually silent for those first few days of the protests. They weren't the ones leading the riots. They held their peace for a while, and they saw, and they were observing, like everybody else, whether it was going to blow over or not. And then once Mahmoud Abbas realized that the street, the Palestinian street, was riled up, and they realized that this was not going to die down, then Abbas came out and had something to say about it. He tried to make it appear like they were leading this Palestinian struggle. He was vying for control of these riots at that point, and yet they were just playing catch-up. They were playing catch-up, and we've come to find out after the fact that there are outside nations like Iran trying to lead this revolt, trying to stir the pot a little bit more, trying to hijack and inspire further outrage among the Palestinians. Iran was actually trying to do that, and we've covered that on Watch Jerusalem. You can go back and read about that if you desire. But in order for Fatah to maintain its semblance of control over the Palestinians, they had to show they were upset by what Israel was doing. And so they decided to break off the security relationship between them and Israel as it had existed for a number of years and had actually worked successfully for a number of years. Now, this was a move to try and gain favor with the protesting Palestinians, not necessarily to express outrage at the Israelis, although that's what they tried to play it off as, in order to gain the support of the Palestinians that were rioting already. Now, the Palestinian people, they weren't fooled by this. They knew that the Palestinian Authority was trying to show that they are in charge of the situation when they really weren't. And so they canceled their security arrangements with Israel. Then, as it turned out, as I said, the Palestinian Authority found out that it was outside powers stirring that pot and extremists were pushing for the riots to continue. And the Palestinian Authority, realizing they were virtually powerless, even though they're in charge of the Palestinian people, to stop those riots, well, they basically tried to join them and to show that they were supportive of them. Now, after the fact, after it started to die down, some senior Palestinian ministers in the Fatah government, some that were very close to Abbas, they came out and spoke that they were very concerned of the nature of the Palestinian struggle, very concerned of the nature of the Palestinian struggle in the eyes of the Palestinians, the very people that they were meant to rule over. They were saying that there is now an added religious element. Now, we've known about this religious element, of course. This religious element has been there all along. And yet it is, the religious element is more a feature of Hamas than Fatah. And what is worrying Abbas and Fatah is that the nature of the Palestinian struggle in the eyes of the Palestinians is changing from more of a national struggle to a religious struggle. And because of that, they're looking at Fatah, they're looking at Abbas, and they're saying, what have you done for us over the past decade? What have you done to further what we want? And what we've seen now is kind of a breaking of faith of the Palestinian people with the Fatah leadership. One senior Palestinian official said at the time, just after those, after the Temple Mount impasse, he says, the Israelis do not understand the enormous dangers involved in a religious war. It would bring Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran to the forefront of the armed struggle and endanger the pragmatic elements in the Palestinian leadership. Now, there are some pragmatic elements in the Palestinian leadership, and they have been the Fatah leaders. I'm not saying that they are pro-Israel by any stretch. I'm not saying that they even want Israel to live side by side with Israel. But they are more pragmatic as far as ruling over the Palestinian people, as far as that goes, rather than Hamas. And they are worried that if this becomes a religious war, they are going to lose their control over the Palestinian people. And what we saw in the Temple Mount impasse is that it has become more of a religious war. Then he goes on to write, or say, this Palestinian official from Fatah, he said, if Israel contrives to make Al-Aqsa the cause, it is doomed to confront later on Islamic fundamentalist neighbors that will not shy away from any military, terrorist, or popular violence. Now, this is important. I think he was telling the truth. They're saying if this is going to be about the Al-Aqsa Mosque, then we don't have control over the Palestinian people. And if we don't have control over the Palestinian people, who's going to stop them? Israel? Who's going to stop them? Now, to this day, we still don't know why Israel stood down. We don't know why those metal detectors were taken down. Now, it's likely, definitely likely, that Israel caved, and they made it look like they caved because they didn't want the Palestinian Authority to lose even more power, and they didn't want an outside power such as Iran, more radical elements such as Hamas, to grow in power and gain the hearts of the Palestinian people. Mr. Netanyahu, he's a player in the terms of understanding the big picture. And he probably thought it's worth us caving in order to keep the status quo, the security status quo, where we work with the Palestinian Authority, and that we keep both of us, the Palestinian Authority led by Fatah and Israel, keep Hamas down. It's worth it. It's worth it. We'll cave. We'll take down those metal detectors. See, Israel kind of needs the Palestinian Authority to exercise control over the Palestinians, especially over the West Bank. In fact, Fatah and Israel both need each other. And for the longest time, up until this Temple Mount impasse, Fatah and Israel have worked together to keep Hamas out of the West Bank. That's the basis of their security partnership between the two. Fatah doesn't want Hamas to get a foothold in the West Bank because it'll undermine its own power base. Because, like it or not, the majority of the Palestinian people would vote for Hamas if they had a chance to vote, as they did back in 2006, the very last time when Hamas were a part of elections. They voted overwhelmingly, even in the West Bank, even in Ramallah, for Hamas. And obviously Fatah doesn't want that to happen again. So Fatah has tried, with its security relationship with Israel, to keep Hamas down and out of the West Bank. And it's in Israel's interest to keep Hamas out of the West Bank as well, so they don't get a foothold there either. That would turn the West Bank into Gaza, Jerusalem into something worse than Sderot, right next door. And so they have worked together, both preventing a rise of Hamas inside the West Bank. Well, as my American military source said, that relationship hasn't been functioning so well. It hasn't been functioning that well as it's done historically. And that's partly because the Palestinian Authority, as led by Fatah, is losing more and more and more legitimacy as the leader of the Palestinian people inside the West Bank, which is why this latest agreement, or potential agreement by Hamas, to come under the banner of the Palestinian Authority, and they've already said that they're going to disband their administrative assembly inside the Gaza Strip, meaning, hey, Fatah, come and rule over us, at least the administrative details, and the Gaza Strip. That's why that's terrifying. That's why this push for reconciliation is terrifying right now, because the Palestinian Authority, led by Abbas, hasn't got power anymore. It doesn't have the legitimacy to rule over the Palestinian people, according to the majority of them. And Hamas knows it. Hamas knows that Fatah has lost its legitimacy, and so they're pushing for reconciliation. And a key demand of their reconciliation is what? Well, let's hold new elections. Because they know that we will win them. We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about what's happened over the past week with this reconciliation bid, and talk about where it might lead, looking at this news in terms of biblical prophecy. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
This is Watch Jerusalem, where history and prophecy come alive. Thank you for listening. They call it the City of Peace. But it is filled with violence. Yesterday, bloody crusades and sieges. Today, terrorism, rocket attacks, and stabbings. Intense international pressure, but no diplomatic solutions. This is Jerusalem. No city has suffered like it. Will there ever be peace? God says yes. There will be peace in Jerusalem, and not just for the Jews. It will be a peace that spreads to all people. How will God bring peace to Jerusalem? Request your free copy of Jerusalem in Prophecy to find out. The answer comes straight from your Bible. Peace is coming soon. Act today. Please visit thetrumpet.com. This is Watch Jerusalem. Thank you for listening.
Hello and welcome back to Watch Jerusalem. We're talking about the lack of power that the Palestinian Authority, led by Abbas, has right now, and what it means going forward in terms of this reconciliation bid that looks to be moving forward between Hamas and Fatah. So this really started last Sunday when Hamas issued a statement overnight saying that it was, quote, responding to the generous Egyptian efforts, which reflect the Egyptian desire to end the split and achieve reconciliation, and based on our desire to achieve national unity, that they were going to disband their administrative committee that runs Gaza, and they invited Abbas's government to return to the Strip, the Gaza Strip. Now, why did they do this? We've kind of talked about that a little already. But there's probably other factors as well. One, Hamas has been facing severe financial pressure. Hamas had said, really, that they wouldn't dismantle the administrative committee inside the Gaza Strip, but where they rule and where they've ruled since 2007, since they dropped off Fatah leaders from the tops of buildings and they removed that Palestinian leadership from that territory. They said, we're not going to dismantle this until the Palestinian Authority ends its financial sanctions against the Strip. And this is what, over the past 5 months, this means that Abbas, he's been ordering a number of cuts to budgets allocated to Gaza for electricity. Gaza has power for about 4 hours a day. That's not because of the Israelis. Not at all. That's because of the internal division between the Palestinians. And he's also cut a lot of the government employee salaries in order to try and pressure Hamas to dissolve the administrative committee. And what's happened was Hamas said, we're not going to buckle. And then they came out last week and said, fine, we agree to everything that you've said. We will let you come in here, rule over us. We're getting rid of our administrative committee. And they put the ball back in Abbas's court and said, hey, what are you going to do with that? We're ready to reconcile. We're ready to come clean. We're ready to join up the Palestinian people. What are you going to do about it? Now, of course, Hamas isn't prone to giving power to Fatah or Abbas. This is part of a strategy of Hamas to grow in power. That's all they want to do. Nobody wants to give over power. They aren't all of a sudden feeling very sorry for the people that they rule over. Had they done that, they wouldn't use UN schools. They wouldn't use residential buildings as cover, as launch sites for their rockets. They wouldn't bring people to the tops of buildings. When in the wars with Israel, when Israel says and gives out leaflets saying, we're going to destroy this building, it's been used for a Hamas attack on Israel. They wouldn't throw up their human shields to the top of that building if they cared for their people. So this decision this week to say to Fatah, we're ready to allow you to rule over us, this was part of a strategy of Hamas. And we can look at this in a number of ways. Hamas, over the past year, have announced some key changes to their charter, their founding document. One of those was that Hamas said that it'll endorse a Palestinian state with 1967 borders. Of course, if you read more of their statement, they don't accept Israel's right to exist, but they see it as a means, as a step to the dissolution of the Israeli state. But they said that sounds good, especially for European negotiators. Look, Hamas, they're willing to accept 1960 borders state by state with Israel. So that was one thing that they've done. They've also officially broken their ties with the Muslim Brotherhood. That makes them look better as well. Then they actually changed some of their anti-Semitic wording in their charter as well. Now, these aren't necessarily huge changes on the ground. They're huge changes on paper. And it looks like they were using these to try and gain some more legitimacy in the eyes of the world and saying, hey, we can be a partner for peace. We can represent the Palestinian people. We're just like Fatah. We're just like Fatah. And yet, obviously, they're not. Obviously, they're not. And yet, they are trying to gain some international legitimacy through these maneuvers. And what happens this week is that they come out and say, hey, we want democracy to rule as well. I know that you are the leader over us right now, Fatah. Come in, take control, and then as we come under your control, let's have fresh elections. Let's hear what the people want. They want these elections. Why do they want them? Because they know they will win. This was from Israel Hayom just this last Tuesday. They wrote an article about this, and they said, in addition to dissolving the administrative council, there are now calls to hold general elections, but this too cannot be considered earth-shattering news, it writes. Hamas, believing it would win, as it did in January 2006, has already expressed a willingness to hold such elections. It's quite possible the group is correct in its assessment. That's what Israel thinks. They'll likely win those elections if they have them. And so we have this move over the past 6 months. Hamas looks to be changing its image, at least what it looks like on the surface. And now they want Fatah to come and rule over them. At least they say that. And now they want to return to have elections. Hamas seems like they're doing everything right. They've put the ball back squarely in Mahmoud Abbas's court. And it's making it look like a bus is the obstacle for peace. Now, let's just talk a little bit about what would happen. What would happen if Hamas actually forms part of a unity government with Fatah? What would happen? What would happen to the entire security establishment? Now, for my American friend, the United States would have to decide whether they're going to get involved at all. It's their policy right now to not deal with Hamas at all, calling it a terrorist group. Rightfully so. Rightfully so. So then who is Israel meant to deal with? Are they going to deal with the Palestinian Authority that has Hamas as part of its membership? Well, they might be pressured to do so. They wouldn't want to. And Israel's going to do all they can, I believe, to prevent a Palestinian reconciliation, a Palestinian democratic election, because the democratic process did work once. And what did it give you? It gave you the will of the Palestinian people, which was to be ruled over by Hamas. And right now, since the Temple Mount impasse, Hamas has the favor of the Palestinian people. Fatah doesn't. Now, what's interesting about this potential scenario, and it's something we've spoken on this program before, is that the European position is far more open to including Hamas in the negotiating process of peace between two peoples, two states for two peoples, as they've trumpeted for so long. The European position is far more open to including Hamas. Now, at Watch Jerusalem, we're looking at Europe to actually become a powerful facilitator in the peace process between the Palestinians and Israel. The days of the United States brokering peace in the Middle East, they're coming to an end. And biblical prophecy indicates that Europe, led by Germany, will get more involved in this. Now, you can read our booklet, Jerusalem in Prophecy, to see why we say this. And I'll even speak about it a little bit towards the end of how we say that Germany was going to be involved based in biblical prophecy. Who is Germany in the Bible? We'll talk about that in a second. But to show you that Europe is more open to having Hamas as part of this government and working with Hamas as the leader of the Palestinian people in some type of peace negotiation, you might think that wouldn't happen. Well, let's go back to 2007, 2008, when Hamas was the legitimate victor of those elections that everybody in the world thought Fatah would definitely win. They thought they would win. Americans thought they would win. Israelis thought that they would win. The Europeans definitely thought that they would win. And yet it comes out that Hamas wins. This is the situation that we're in right now, again, and which is why Fatah is going to do all it can to stall these elections, which they may actually get pressured to have by outside players. And we don't know that for sure yet, but we'll see. Anyway, this is a piece from 2008, and this is for the Center of European Reform. This isn't a European politician per se, but Europe loves their think tanks. And a lot of the time it's these groups such as the Center for European Reform that do lead the way in political thought for European nations. This comes after it looked like the United States was going to have some type of push for a peace deal between the Israelis and the Palestinians. And the Palestinians, they were dealing directly with Fatah, not Hamas. And yet this is what this lady writes, Clara Marina O'Donnell. She's a research fellow at the Center for European Reform. And this was not very hard to find. This is everywhere. Go back and read some of those if you want. The reports from Europe directly after Hamas was victorious. And they said, well, this is the will of the people. If we champion democracy, then they have to be included in the negotiations. They were ready to pressure Israel back then. Anyhow, this is what she writes. So if Western governments and their Arab partners wish to take advantage of this moment of international collective determination to end the conflict, they will need to help resolve the local stalemate by exploring new avenues to reconciliation. This will have to include talking to Hamas. That's the European position. This will have to include talking to Hamas. And then this is what she writes. Further down, more and most importantly, the EU can act as the other voice, which makes the idea of engaging Hamas more acceptable to Israel. The EU, and then she writes, until now, Israel, the US, and the Europeans, and most other countries have tried to isolate Hamas in the hope of bringing about its collapse. But despite 2 years of harsh sanctions by the groups, Hamas is still in control of Gaza and undermining the peace efforts with its attacks on Israel. 10 years later, they're still in charge of Gaza. So if we're going to have a solution to the Israeli-Palestinian peace process, according to this lady, from Europe, we need to get Hamas on board. As long as Hamas, this is her continuing, as long as Hamas remains a leading political and military force on the Palestinian side, its involvement will be needed to curb the violence, stabilize the situation on the ground, and in the longer term, secure a lasting basis for peace. Hamas's current violent tactics and intemperate rhetoric are unacceptable, but within a favorable environment, the organization may yet transform itself into a more responsible political player. Now, that type of language is extremely diluted, and yet it exists in the political thought in Europe. That within a favorable environment, this terrorist organization committed to Israel's destruction, increasing its ties with Iran right now, that within a favorable environment, the organization may yet transform itself into a more responsible political player. Now, looking at Hamas's moves over the past 5 or 6 months, it's like they read this report and said, oh, let's make it look like we've changed. Let's make it look like we're ready to transform ourselves into a more responsible political player, coming together with Fatah, allowing them to rule over the Gaza Strip. Let's have a democratic election, and that's going to change Hamas. That's what some European leaders think. And they might even pressure Israel. They might even pressure the Palestinian Authority led by Fatah to include Hamas. They might even pressure them. And I wouldn't be surprised if they say to Fatah, hey, your funding is right now limited until you include Hamas. Fatah is saying, you don't know what you're doing, Europe. You don't know what you're doing. If you pressure us to include Hamas, because Hamas will take over. If we include Hamas in the democratic process, if we have free and fair elections, Hamas is going to rule not over Gaza, but also the West Bank. Now, this is why this moment in history is important, to watch these negotiations, these reconciliation negotiations between Hamas and Fatah, because you right now have a weakened Fatah. The Palestinian people in general would back Hamas, and you have an international community led by Europe that would be willing to pressure both Israel and Fatah to include Hamas. Now, looking at this situation through the lens of biblical prophecy, it is important because a lot of these things very much do add up. Now, we at Watch Jerusalem have long expected Hamas to become the voice of the Palestinian people to the international community, as well as to claim its leadership inside the West Bank. Of course, while its words might change, and while they've looked to change over the past 6 months, Bible prophecy indicates that it's not going to change its spots. Hamas will retain its strategy of violence in order to fight the Jews, in order to expel the Jews if they could. Bible prophecy actually indicates that it will try and wrest half of Jerusalem and be successful actually at wresting half of Jerusalem away from Israel. Now, how would that happen? That couldn't really happen with a secure security situation with Israel and the Palestinian Authority led by Fatah. That likely would not happen if Fatah was strong in the West Bank. And yet the very fact that the Bible does foretell, it does foretell half of Jerusalem, Eastern Jerusalem, being taken over, or falling out of the hands of the Israelis, it does show that Hamas is going to get in control of the West Bank. And that's what we're watching for. But it's not just that. The Bible also says that after that point, Israel is actually going to reach out for a negotiating partner, somebody to mediate this this situation. And who are they going to turn to at that point? They don't turn to the United States. Hosea chapter 5 and verse 13 talks about them turning to a king, King Jabin. King Jabin. And anciently, this king was the king of Assyria. And again, it's going to be the king of Assyria or a leader of Assyria that they turn to help mediate this situation between Hamas or a violent Palestinian group and Israel. And who's Assyria? Well, you can go to Watch Jerusalem right now, and we have an article up there that talks about the remarkable identity of the German people. That's right. Assyria, ancient Assyria, and you can go through that article. There's a lot of proof. There's a map on there as well to plot the migrations of ancient Assyria. You can even go to German documents, and many of them know that they came from the ancient nation of Assyria, right out of Mesopotamia, northern Mesopotamia. Well, the Bible indicates that just as anciently Judah did go to Assyria for help in dealing with the situation, well, they're going to do that again. And is it any surprise? Is it any surprise that Europe today are the ones that are willing to already negotiate both with Israel and Hamas? If you want to know more about this, and if you want to really see these events that look like, you know, they look like they won't even happen potentially between Hamas and Fatah, this reconciliation deal, or you look at Europe and you wonder why they are always pushing Israel for a peace deal and that why they are willing to engage Hamas, and you're wondering what does this mean? Well, you can read about what it means. It's already been written down in a booklet by our editor-in-chief, Gerald Flurry. That booklet is entitled Jerusalem in Prophecy. Jerusalem in Prophecy, it will give you the guidelines in which to view these events taking place in the Middle East and in Israel specifically, and show you where it is all leading. That's about all we have time for today on today's program. I thought I was going to get a bit more into going through some of the proofs for the Assyrian nation being, you know, ancient Assyria making up Germany today. But the article on Watch Jerusalem definitely does go into probably much more detail than I could speak about anyhow. So please go and check that out. Again, our website is watchjerusalem.co.il. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next week.